And now, gracious Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As I was going over our sermon for the week, for this Sunday last week, it occurred to me, I said, I wonder how many members of our church have heard of the prophet Urijah. Well, Urijah was a prophet of God, and here we have just a few words about him, but I think that they're important words. Jeremiah 26, 20-24. Now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against the city and against this land according to all of the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Then Jehoiakim, the king, sent men to Egypt, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and other men who went with him to Egypt. And they brought Urijah from Egypt, and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with the sword, and cast his dead body in the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. The law of God was that in the mouth of more than one witness, a thing would be established. And God is true to his own dictates. Jeremiah had prophesied against the city and of Jerusalem and the temple, and God sent Urijah to do the same thing. Now, in Deuteronomy 17:6, we read, "Whoever is worthy of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses, but he shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness." One witness in 19:15. We read Deuteronomy 19:15, "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be established." Interestingly, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he explained to the people that he was in the Father and the Father in him. So his word was authenticated by more than one witness. But not only that, the words that he spoke during his earthly ministry, most of them were covered in the Old Testament. So we have this multiplicity of witnesses in the action of God toward Jerusalem because the people would not repent. Now I want to take you back in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles open, I would appreciate it, and go back to the first of the chapter 26, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying," so it's telling you when this thing took place. It took place during the reign of Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim was not like his father Josiah, who was a godly man. Verse 2, "Thus says the Lord." Now the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah. He says, "Stand in the court of the Lord's house." Hallelujah. "You go stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word." In other words, God is giving Jeremiah a strict charge to go into the Lord's house to preach to the people. Verse 3. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I purpose to bring on them because of the evil of their doing. I've shared with you a number of times that the land is cursed by the evil of the people. God is telling Jeremiah to go preach to the people in the Lord's house that unless they repent, unless they turn from their evil ways, he is going to make that land desolate. Look at verse 4. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my laws, which I have set before you, to heed my words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded. One of the things that we see so plainly in studying the Old Testament is that Almighty God is a merciful God, and he gives his people opportunity after opportunity to listen to him and to do what he says, because he is the creator and sustainer of all mankind. Beloved, God created you and he sustains you. Now, I know that you have mothers and fathers who were used by God to bring you into the world, but it was God's doing. Don't have any doubt about that. It was God's doing. Verse 6 says, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Shiloh is a reference to the place where people assembled to worship God during the days of Eli. This was when Hannah prayed and Samson was born, and Samson went to be raised by Eli in the temple. But Eli would not discipline his sons for making sport with the women who came to the temple to worship. So God judged Eli. And I just remind you of this again. Eli, when he heard that Hophni and Phinehas, his two sons, were killed the same day, fell off his stool backwards and broke his neck. Now we have people in churches today that think falling over backwards is a blessing. The Bible says falling over backwards is a curse. Now, verse 6, God says to Jeremiah to tell the people he's going to make that the Jerusalem like Shiloh. Well, the Philistines destroyed Shiloh and took the Ark of God away. So this is a pretty important word, because these people should have known that. Verse 7. So the priests, look at this now, the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speak these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, you shall surely die. Jeremiah, the charge against Jeremiah was that he spoke the word of the Lord to the people and they didn't want to hear it. Verse 9. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be destroyed without desolate without inhabitants? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Now I'm emphasizing that they were in the house of the Lord. The Lord told Jeremiah to go preach to the people Jeremiah went and preached to the people what the Lord told him to preach to the people. And the people said, not only the people, but the priests and the prophets said, you should die. Now, when the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entering of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Verse 11. Here again, the temple rulers, the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes of all the people saying, this man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city as you have heard with your ears. What was he doing? What was the charge against him? Well, they charged him with prophesying against the city and against the temple, but he only did what God told him to do. Beloved, in the church today, preachers who preach the word of God faithfully have a hard time. People give them a hard time. Why? They don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They don't want to repent. Nobody wants to hear about sin. Nobody wants to hear that you need to live a holy life. God is not giving you license to sin when he calls you to faith in Christ Jesus. When he calls you to faith in Christ Jesus, what he is calling you to is a holy life. And a holy life is a life that does everything that it can do to eliminate sin in the life. We're getting ready to celebrate Holy Communion this morning. And even while this service goes on, you should be thinking in your heart, do I have any sin in my life that's unconfessed? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wonder how many of you prepared to come to hear the word of God preached this morning. Jeremiah offers a defense. He says here, beginning in verse 12, then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. In other words, they weren't Jeremiah's words. They were the words of the Lord. The Lord sent him to tell the people that unless they repent, he is going to destroy the city, the cities of Judah, and the temple. Now therefore, verse 13, now therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. Talk about an offer you can't refuse. God says very plainly, if you repent, I will relent. That is, he will withhold the judgment if you repent. Beloved, Jesus Christ said you must be born again. And the doctrine of repentance was preached by John the Baptist and Jesus when both of them started their earthly ministry. Repent. That means turn away from your sin. If you have sin in your life, you need to turn away from it. Verse 14. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. Now, if you think that I'm worthy of death because I preached to you the word of God as God told me to preach it to you, here I am, do with me whatever seems good to you. But, verse 15, but know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on the inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. My, my. You know, I think what I'm doing here this morning, I think that some of you would be much better off if you would take your time and read the Bible very carefully and go back and read it again and try to see what it's really saying. What it is saying here, verse 16. So the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, "This man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." They're changing their mind. But then certain of the elders, certain of the old men, got up and reminded the people that God had spoken the same words to King Hezekiah through Micah. Micah the prophet prophesied during the time of Isaiah. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. And he prophesied to King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was the king of Judah. And the men are reminding them that when Micah the Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts." Now this is what Micah said to the people in Hezekiah's day. "Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest." Now what did Hezekiah and the people do when Micah prophesied these words? Well, verse 19 says, did Hezekiah, the king of Judah and all Judah, ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. Beloved, when you ignore the word of God, when you choose to go against the word of God, you are hurting yourself. When you sin, you are hurting yourself. A proposition that I've set forth from the pulpit here a number of times, when we just read the Ten Commandments this morning, there's some churches that don't ever read the Ten Commandments, they don't pay any attention to them anymore. But we do, because it's God's perfect moral law. But I would ask you to search yourself and see if any one of the Ten Commandments are bad for you. Which one of the Ten Commandments did God give that's bad for you? It's just the opposite. Every one of them are good for us. Absolutely good for us. Now, we come to this prophet Urijah, and in the Old Testament, you have a number of prophets who wrote and recorded their words. You have some who are not named, and you have some who are named that did not write anything. But Urijah, this Old Testament prophet, was a prophet of God. He prophesied and preached to the people the same message that Jeremiah had preached. You think the people would have kind of perked up a little bit and listened. This is the same thing Jeremiah said. Maybe it is we should repent. Well, we all know, all we know about Urijah is right here in this 26th chapter of Jeremiah. He came on the scene right after Jeremiah's life was threatened, and he preached the same message to the people that Jeremiah preached. And we are told that he was the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is established. So what God was doing was establishing to the people, in his mercy and grace, through the mouth of Urijah the prophet, the same words that Jeremiah preached. Now, beloved, if you follow the preaching of the Word of God, you will hear various preachers preaching on a text of the Bible, and usually, if they're really God-centered men, it will come out pretty much the same. There's only one right interpretation for every passage of Scripture. There are many applications, but only one right interpretation. Now, Jeremiah told them that God was about to judge the nation and the city. God sent Urijah the prophet to tell them the same thing. And what happened? The prophets, the priests, the king, and the people were angry. Angry. We shared with you last week, in our sermon last week, that a couple of the kings in earlier times who heard the words of the prophets of God hated them. Well, these people hated Urijah, and they hated Jeremiah. And they wanted to kill Jeremiah, but Jeremiah made a defense of his position, and he told them that, you know, all I'm doing is what God told me to do. If you come to church, beloved, and you hear a sermon that rubs you the wrong way, and the preacher's in the Word of God, your problem really isn't with the preacher. Your problem is with the Word of God. These people had a problem not with Jeremiah or Uriah. Their problem was with Almighty God, because Almighty God told them what to preach. Gave them the words to preach. Hallelujah. The king was angry and sought to put him to death. Now, things haven't changed very much. And folks get angry today when they hear the word. And, you know, when you tell folks that sex outside of marriage is sinful and God is going to judge you for it, and people get upset about that. I know that. They get upset about that. Well, I have a living arrangement, and I can't do anything about my living arrangement because we're sharing the bills together. And all kinds of, that's a rationalization. That's an excuse. Can God take care of you? Well, Jehoiakim and his mighty men, the princes of Judah, sought to kill Urijah. And they were going to kill him. The charge against him was the same charge that they had against Jeremiah, and Jeremiah defended himself, and yet Urijah came along and preached the same thing. They get angry with him and want to kill him. You see what sin does to you? Sin keeps you from thinking right. And this is why we need to adjust our thinking according to the Word of God. Now, the crime that Urijah committed was the same as the crime that Jeremiah committed. He prophesied in the house of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, and the people wanted to kill him. God has given us his word, and when it is preached faithfully, people get angry because they don't want to repent. You should get angry when you're reminded that you're a sinner. When you're reminded that God has provided the only means by which you can get your sins forgiven and get favor with him. You shouldn't get angry. You should start to examine yourself and see, now, am I really on the Lord's side? Because we are all going to spend eternity somewhere, evolution notwithstanding. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. And the only way, I think our Sunday school class was reminded of this morning, the only way we are going to spend eternity in the presence of the Lord, enjoying all of the benefits of heaven, is by putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him alone for our salvation. What about all of the people who don't believe in Jesus? What about them? When I get that in witnessing to people, and I get it frequently, I always say to them, what about you? Let's forget all of the people out there that you think haven't heard the word, that you think God can't get the word to them. Let's forget about them. What about you? Do you have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what I want to know. The reaction of the people to the preaching of Jeremiah and Urijah should have been just the opposite from what it was. When the word is faithfully proclaimed, there should be humble submission to it. We should submit to the word of truth. Some years ago, I was preparing a couple for marriage, and I went over Ephesians 5 with them in the second or third counseling session. And I said to the woman, I said, I want you to look at this passage of scripture, and it says that wives are to be subject to their husbands as unto the Lord in everything. I said, do you think you can do that? And she thought for a minute and she said, no, I don't think I can do that. Well, if you can't do that, then this is not the man that you should marry. And that session was what broke them up, because the man was upset that she would not yield to the word of God. But that's what the word of God says. Now, I'll tell you something. We have some young single women in here. If you can't submit to the man you want to marry as unto the Lord in everything, then you need to find somebody else. Men, if you want to marry some woman that you cannot love as God loved the church, as Christ loved the church, you need to find somebody else. Because that's what the Bible says you're supposed to do. You're supposed to love your wife to death. And women are supposed to submit to their husbands no matter whether they think they're wrong or right. That's what God says. That's God's provision. That's not my provision. But what happens? People get upset over that. Oh, no, I can't do that. Well, the easy way out is to put the messenger to death. And this is what Jehoiakim and the people of Judah decided to do. They're going to put him to death. Now, when Urijah heard about the design on his life, he fled to Egypt. And on first reading, it seems like, well, that was not such an unreasonable thing to do. But when you think about it a little bit, you see it was unreasonable, an unreasonable thing for him to do. Because he was a prophet of God. All he did was to go into the temple of God and preach the word of God as God told him to preach it, and the people threatened him with death. Well, if he was brash enough and bold enough to preach to the people the word of God, and he knew that the word came from God, why did he not trust God? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now, I want to take you back in Jeremiah 26 to the 14th verse. The 14th verse in Jeremiah 26, when Jeremiah is making his defense before the people, what does he say? As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. What Jeremiah is saying here is that God can protect me, and if God decides or elects not to protect me, so be it. Hallelujah. But Urijah took off and went to Egypt. And when he took off and went to Egypt, and Jehoiakim found out about it, he sent some bounty hunters for Urijah. And the bounty hunters found him and brought him back. And what happened when he got back? The king killed him with the sword. Now, there's some who think that maybe the king had him killed, but the text says the king killed him with the sword. Either way, the king killed him, whether the king did it physically himself or whether he had some of his cohorts to do it, they killed Urijah. But not only, he wasn't satisfied just killing him, he killed him and threw his body in a hole with the common people, knowing that he was a prophet, knowing that he spoke the word of God, knowing that Jeremiah told them that, you know, what you are doing is a great evil against yourself. You see what sin does to people? Sin distorts our thinking. Sin makes us think that what we know is wrong is right. And what we know is right is wrong. That's what sin does to us. Threw him in a pit with the common people after he had killed him. And why did he kill him? He killed him because he spoke the word of God. My. This is the kind of lesson that those of us who are committed to the Lord need to hear. And we can only hear this kind of a lesson from the Old Testament. You don't get this in the New Testament. You get this in the Old Testament. And it's the outworking, the effect of sin in the heart. That's what it is. Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, protected Jeremiah and saved his life. And it is the opinion of some of the noted commentators that God would have saved Urijah if he had trusted in the Lord instead of running away to Egypt. But it shows that even the prophet of the Lord is human. And they have human emotions. And what are you going to do if someone threatens your life and you know that they have the power to kill you? Well, are you going to stand and trust in the Lord? Or are you going to run? Well, you have to make that decision. But what the Bible seems to be teaching us here is that if we do what the Lord is telling us to do in His Word, He will protect us. He will prosper us. What did God tell Joshua in Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night in order to do all of the things that are written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We don't have to fear anything as long as we are doing what God would have us do. People in the world will do all sorts of little dirty things against you, but they can't really do any permanent damage to you if you are trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. But beloved, you need to know that the life that was threatened, Jeremiah's life was threatened, and Uriah's life was threatened and killed. He was killed because he did what God told him to do. Jeremiah was only doing what God told him to do. Urijah was only doing what God told him to do, and the people killed him. Pray for your preachers. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this message. We thank you for revealing to us the devastating effects of sin in the hearts of people, even those who dare to come into your house. For Jeremiah was charged by the people in the house of the Lord, by the priests and by the prophets and by the people, that he was worthy of death because he preached your word. Father, we pray that you would be pleased to preserve the preachers of your word and give us a boldness and a brashness to preach your word as it is, without compromise. And, oh, Father, we do pray that you would give your people hearts to hear it and to do it. For if we are hearers of the word and not doers of the word, we're self-deceived. So, Father, we do pray that you would bless our church, that you would bless this congregation gathered here today, and help us to be doers of the word rather than hearers of it only. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.